Welcome to a new episode of These Go to 11. Let's turn it up. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to These Go to 11, an unchurchy conversation about everyday faith. Please make sure you like, subscribe, and review on your favorite podcast platform. This not only helps us to get our content out there, but also helps us to find out what you, our faithful listeners, think. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to These Go to 11. Once again, I'm Nathan Bell. Joining me as always, Greg Dutcher. Greg, what's going on, man?
What's going on, my friend? Is we are in April. And we got that kind of post-Easter joy, post-Easter glow, heading into the warm weather. You know, dude, I'm excited.
Dude, Easter was pretty early this year, March 31st. Not as early as it can be, and not as late as it will be next year, which is, what did we say, like April 17th?
Yeah, or is it even later than that? I think, dude, through the magic of, of course, I don't have it up anymore. I lost it, but I'll find it quickly, dude, because I'm a recipient of advanced biblical training.
AKA Google.
Google. honestly, dude, I will say, I hope I don't sound like a total jerk, but Lisa and I, that's an ongoing joke between us. I think I've referenced this in some other capacity before, because this guy we heard years ago, who just regularly talked about, he aspired to some things he wasn't getting. And he would say, you know, as a recipient of advanced biblical training, he had gone to a Bible Institute somewhere, which is great. But I remember us talking, boy, this guy does not have much self-awareness. Right. You know, I mean, he would drop in a conversation. Well, you see, I have to know, I'm a recipient of advanced biblical training. So that's become kind of an ongoing joke. If we ever are deciding where to eat and we can't agree, I'm like, Lise, listen, how about we just have an objective standard? That way there's no bias. How about whichever the two of us has more advanced biblical training?
Think I would still put her in the category above you.
Yeah, as you should, dude. Yeah, let me just say that argument has never really produced a whole lot. I looked, next year is April 20th. So it actually in 2030, it'll be a day later than that. It'll be April 21st. So in case you're wondering, next year, April 20th. And then in 2026, April 5th, 27, early again.
Back to
earlier
March.
Than this year, March 28th.
Wow.
In 2028, April 16th, 2029, April 1st. And in 2030, as I said, April 21st. So the question, dude.
Yeah. So we thought this would make some pretty good pre-show banter.
Yep.
So, Greg, with your advanced biblical training.
Advanced biblical training.
Why Easter flexes so much.
Yes. Well, it has to do with the various dispensations. No. it has to do. Well, dude, think of. It's a much more complex formula than, well, Christmas is the easiest. It's the same date.
Yeah.
So the day will change of the week, but it's always December 25th.
Yep.
Thanksgiving is like Easter in that it will change, but only within a week.
Right, because it's always going to be the fourth Thursday
of November. Month.
Yeah.
Right? Was that Roosevelt that declared that a national holiday? I think so. I'm not 100% sure.
I think so, yeah. I think it was FDR, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll always be somewhere between like the 21st and the 28th.
Yeah.
It's going to be a 7-day range, you know, and if it's early, you're like, wow, boy, we had a lot of November left before we got into December, and other times. I think this coming year, I think it's
kind of late. Yeah,
yeah, and it will. By the time kids are back to school, it's already early December. Easter, here it is, dude. Ready? It is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. So
say that three times
fast.
Yeah,
say that. You could make that a game where you drink soda, and say that three times backwards. But so the vernal equinox, dude, is always like, what, March 20th, 21st?
Yep. Right,
spring,
yeah.
The beginning of spring. then you have to have that happen.
Yep.
Then there has to be a full moon.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a 1 in 30th chance right. that it'll be the very next day or something. And then the Sunday after.
Yeah.
That's how our Easter is determined. So, because I used to wonder that too. Why is it sometimes in March? And
yeah.
Is there a committee somewhere that decides it? Is it the advertisers? This year we really want, you know, to have it tied close to St. Paddy's Day or something. So just a little useless information that you could pass on at your next party.
There you go. We, as you know, if you've been listening, we were talking about Easter, talking our way through into Holy Week. And the reason why we brought this up is because we are now literally 2 days after Easter. It is April 2nd.
Yep.
Because March 31st, this past Sunday, was Easter.
Get those taxes done.
That's right. It's coming up quick. And so we decided that today we were going to talk about the resurrection because why not? We spent an entire month, rightfully so, in deep contemplation, looking deep into God's word, giving you, our listeners, things to think about and contemplate as well as we move through this time. And it just seems right that now we celebrate.
Yes.
Right? Because this is the essence of the message that we're given, right? No angels had to come and tell everyone that Christ had died. They all witnessed it. They all saw it. But now we have angels, we have messengers coming to tell that Christ is alive, right? His resurrection comes with an earthquake.
Yes.
It comes with the announcement from angels. And then ultimately, Christ makes his appearance to his disciples to show them that he has conquered death.
Yes.
And Greg, you and I were talking, we could take a million and one angles talking about the resurrection.
I know. I mean, really, last year, if you remember, we basically spent the month.
Yeah.
Past Easter, talking about how important this is from a defense of the faith apologetics standpoint.
Yes.
Which is always, you know, relevant and in an increasingly post-Christian age when people think, I don't know if I believe. Why would I believe this Christian faith as opposed to another religious faith? And my friend is a Hindu, my friend is a Buddhist. What and we would say, well, the resurrection is a laser-focused event.
Yes.
Rooted in history.
Yes.
If it happened, it matters.
Yes.
If it didn't happen, then Christianity really has nothing left. It's just a shell of itself or its presumed self. So that's an angle we could take. Yep. But
we could take the angle of God's seal of approval on everything Christ did, right? Yes. That the resurrection was the stamp of approval that everything Christ had accomplished and everything that he had done was a life worthy of him.
Yes.
So many different ways we could go. We're going to dive into a little lesser known angle, one that I think Keller did a good job bringing to light.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the hope of what we typically call heaven, which is really a misconception, right? Because we all get the idea that, you know, we talk in this term, you know, one day when we're in heaven, but that's not where we're meant to live.
Yes. And dude, for anybody who maybe from our church that took the core class I did this past winter. Oh, I love saying this past. Dude, it's April. We're pointing back to this past winter.
That's right.
Look, dude. Even as we're filming, it's beautiful, evening almost,
sunny.
6 o'clock, and sunny. Isn't that wonderful? I did, you know, heaven as a class, and the subtitle of the class was "It's Not Weird, It's Wonderful." Because I recognize, and we've made that point on this podcast, and certainly not unique to us, but I think it's an important point that we want to seize on. Many people have a view of heaven that is frightening, especially children, because it's weird.
Yeah.
And it's typically weird because, for whatever reason, we picture it in a cloudy environment. And maybe do we live on a cloud?
Right.
Do I get my own individual cloud?
When do I get my harp?
Yeah, and a harp.
And the wings?
The wings.
I get wings, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm already like chubby. I'd like to say cute and chubby, but I'll just say chubby. Maybe I'll be cute there, but, you know, and it's we just kind of worshiping. Do we see each other on different clouds? I mean, let's be honest.
Right. And Peter's like at the gates admitting people or rejecting them, right?
He's got his iPad making sure you're on the list. Right, and all kinds of ideas that are just kind of weird.
Right.
And honestly, picture a little kid being told, oh, let's get excited. We're going to sing songs in church about how wonderful this is. You're like, yeah, yay. And we're saying this to kids who go to Hershey Park and water rides and eat cotton candy and know what it is to do a summer camping trip.
Yeah.
You know, tell these fun stories by a campfire and, you know, go to sporting events and all of a sudden that stuff is gone.
Yeah.
So what I love about the resurrection, Nathan, is it's a picture of what awaits us after death. Now, it's so important. One of the symbolic titles given to Jesus after his resurrection, Paul calls him the first fruits of the resurrection. And for a people that were agrarian, as all ancient cultures were ultimately, understood the first fruits of the harvest was a sign of good things to come.
Yeah.
The first fruits are often given in an offering, but it's also a sign, here's a preview of the abundance that's coming. If Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, who are the second, third, fourth, fifth, 20th fruits? Well, that's all of us. We get to look at Jesus as our model, and he's not in a weird, cloudy place with the harp after his death. He's alive. Oh, my word, he's in a body. Oh, my word, he's walking. Oh, my word, he's eating and drinking. Right. He's having breakfast on the beach with his friends. And you see what happens. Things start coming to focus. Oh, okay. Christianity offers something very unique, and it is the continuation, yet, you said it in our pre-podcast talk, upgraded continuation. So it's continued, but it's bigger and better.
Yeah.
Right? How many times do I remember, for some, what a weird thing to pop into my head. Lisa and I laughed one time because we were like shopping together and we're looking for a bag of chips or something for a party. And it.
Greg, I can't picture you looking for chips.
Yeah, not looking for them. You're like, Greg was around chips and he wasn't eating them? Only for a moment. And there's this bag of Doritos and it was like a new look. And it, the thing that they printed on the bag was now better tasting. It just struck us, what an odd. Yeah, they sucked before, right. But they taste better now. Just an odd, now better tasting.
Right.
So there's my picture of an upgrade. So it's going to be just like Doritos, brother. Boy, that's an inspiring. Inspiring. You're going to have bad breath and poor health for all eternity. No.
When are you writing your book on heaven, Greg?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Woo! It's going to sell like hotcakes, baby.
The summary of the book is right at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's just like Doritos.
Just like Doritos. But better. Slightly. Slightly better than better tasting Doritos. Yeah. Can we just scrap that whole last 5 minutes and bring somebody else in here to talk about this? But, you know, the principle still holds.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a continuation of what we know, but better.
Well, we get glimpses all throughout Scripture that God's work is to undo what has been done.
Yeah.
Right? Sin has entered the world, and God's work is to set about undoing the effects of sin and the effects that sin have caused, right? So the Tower of Babel, we see, destroys and divides people.
Yeah.
And we see Pentecost. There's an undoing of what has been done, right?
Yeah.
We see that that Adam and Eve's sin has caused death, that the very first death we have between two brothers.
Yep.
and Christ comes to conquer death, right? His resurrection. And so it seems to make sense that really what we're going to get is an undoing of what has been done, right? Where Adam and Eve, their testing ground was the garden.
Yeah.
What would have happened to them had they passed the test?
Yes.
Right? They wouldn't have automatically been taken out of their bodies and transported into heaven into some ethereal realm.
Exactly.
They would have lived eternally, right, perfectly here on earth.
I know. Isn't that, it's interesting, when God wants to create the ideal place, he doesn't do it in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
I don't mean like the Netherlands, Holland, I mean the sort of out there in the ephemeral, ever-changing, elusive environment. It's weird. It's disturbing.
Yeah.
I've never experienced that.
Yeah.
I've never been a disembodied spirit.
Right.
I have always been a person with a body. When God made man, he made him. He breathed into him. He became a living being.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a physical picture of our identity. Mm. And it's one that God said was good and very good.
Yes.
When Adam and Eve were created one for the other. So it's a really encouraging thought to me, dude, that one of the things we can think about the resurrection, not something I developed this past Easter, but we can spend a little more time on the podcast talking about this, is that we get a little glimpse of Jesus, you're right, not going on to some other place. He's back here. And I do think that is the ultimate destination of heaven. It's here. Revelation 21, 22, it's a new Jerusalem, a new city that comes down. Here, we are not taken somewhere else. This is where we're meant to live.
Yeah.
Now, it's a transformed world. It is a better world. And to your point, dude, about Jesus specializing in undoing things, two things come to mind. One, I love the line in Joy to the World, which we sing at Christmas, which is probably really about the second coming. But the one guarantees the other. The first coming guarantees the second. The goal of what's the extent? Wherever the curse is found.
Yeah.
Right? Far as the curse is found, it's going to be reversed.
Yeah.
The other thing that comes to my mind is, of course, the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. When Aslan, after dying at the witch's hand on the stone table, the table breaks. When he comes back, Aslan restores Narnia.
Yeah.
It removes the curse.
Yeah.
It is now not the frozen tundra that it is when the kids get there, right?
Yeah.
He has reversed the effects of the witch's doing. Just a wonderful picture. And honestly, dude, that's something, it helped me raising my kids because I could tell them.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Ben, do you remember that day we went to Hershey Park and you loved it?
Yeah.
And you were a little kid, you cried when we left. Why do we have to leave? Why do we have to leave? Because I'm out of money.
Right.
I have no more money. I can't.
You have siblings.
Yeah, I can't triple mortgage the house to come to Hershey Park every day. Goodness, those things are expensive. But, you know, you could talk about that. Or, you know, Sam, remember that time you were in, I didn't get to do this. Dude, her friend Rachel, we used to go to our church, left when, I think after they were in fourth grade. And it's amazing. Samantha's still friends with her, which didn't happen, dude, in our era as much because didn't have cell phones.
Right.
Didn't have the instant access.
And I remember, you were probably going to bed before 9.
Yes. Yes, dude. And I remember my friend Donald moved to Ohio, and my mother let us call him once or twice Sunday nights for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
During the best long distance rate that you could. And he called me, you wrote letters, and he drifted. But Sam went to Destin, Florida. To vacation with Rachel when they were like in middle school, maybe early high school. Sam had never been on a plane, so you ready for this? Dude, we just thought she was young. I think she was like, I think she was 12. She must have been middle school. And I worked it out. There was a pastor. I just realized it's the second pastor I've met in Florida. I must be destined to go there, at least for the winter. So I flew Sam down to Destin. Mm-hmm. Did not stay in Destin. I dropped her off with the family. They went and had an amazing vacation. I went and met this pastor who did take me to a nice steakhouse and had a conversation. I got back on, flew back the next day. Mm-hmm. We just wanted Sam to have me with her for her first flight.
Yep.
But she loved that vacation, the white sandy beaches.
Yep.
And just to say, Sam, do you remember that? Yeah. That you don't lose that in heaven.
Yeah.
So one of the things Kevin, I'm slow. Tim Keller said that I loved. Boy, it's hard to believe, dude. Tim Keller's been gone about a year.
About a year. It'll be a year in May.
May, I think. Yep. Yeah, it was. Wow, that's just kind of hitting me. He's been gone. I feel like a man I never met, but feel like I knew him.
Yeah.
He's such a brilliant writer and teacher. And,
yep.
And scholar.
Open and honest, too.
Yes. Like,
just very real.
He was very real, and he just had such a good grasp of what's important and how to speak to a post-Christian world. And he said at a conference one time, it was in a Q&A, I think, it seems like the resurrection of Jesus really grips you. And he goes, yeah, I'd say that. And one of the things he said when asked why, I mean, obviously it's a great hope, but he said, yeah, we say that, don't we? It's a great hope. But I think sometimes do we really know why the resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of it. And he just made this observation I never heard put quite like this. So I'll pass it on. I wish it were mine, but I love that I got to hear it. And it was, in every other religion, what you lose by dying, you kind of get a consolation prize for, right? Because there's really no resurrection truth in any other faith.
Yeah.
There's just not. And Christianity has this resurrection. So he said, yeah, you for what you lose, you kind of get a consolation prize. You know, and a consolation prize is good, but well, that's what you get when you lost something you loved.
Hmm.
He says, in Christianity, you get it all back.
Yeah.
But better,
to
your point earlier, right? It's just an incredible thought.
Yeah.
And when you have believers that love each other, know each other, like, dude, whenever God has it that you and I, our friendship is ended because one of us passes on, like, we're getting it back.
Right.
Better.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll let us podcast.
Right.
And our podcast will be better.
Peter and Paul are going to be podcasting. Yeah, nobody will listen to ours.
Nobody's going to listen to ours. But, dude, in heaven, we won't be jealous.
That's right.
Right? But, dude, I mean, all those things, right? Like, what think about that, dude.
Yeah.
Like, our friendship.
Yeah.
It's maybe we'll get a consolation prize. We'll live as disembodied spirits in another part of the galaxy. And who knows? We might have some joy. No.
Yeah.
Bodies.
Yeah.
This earth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible.
I always tell my students, like, think about the vastness of the universe God created.
Yeah.
Right? What do you think that's there for? You know, and I love Louis Giglio's approach to this, where he says, you know, this, we look at it and we see it's vast, but God looks at it and it's like, yeah, the universe, where did I put that thing?
Yeah,
right?
Isn't,
you know,
that
like,
great? Yeah.
God is just so infinite and so huge and so marvelous that, you know, the universe fits in the palm of his hand, right?
Yeah.
He fills every space and every time.
Yes.
But, you know, what we could never see in a lifetime, oh, we could explore in the scope of eternity.
Right.
Right? In the scope of eternity, what's 100,000 years to cross the Milky Way galaxy?
Yeah. Dude, that gives me the chills.
You know?
That gives me the chills. Yeah. Exactly. You've got nothing but time.
Yeah.
What I think of it, dude, as the everlasting now.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not like it's just pure experience, pure joy. there for us for all time. And you're right. And the world's unseen.
Yeah.
Right? Who knows, dude? And what we're going to get to do and experience, it's incredible.
But to think we wouldn't be able to use the things that God has given us, right? That you think about, you know, the commission that God gives to Adam and Eve, the, you know, take dominion over the earth, take yeah. dominion over his creation. Yeah. Like, that doesn't change.
No.
Right?
No.
We were still given that.
Absolutely, dude. And the picture of the community at the end of scripture is, yeah. is just, because if you think about it, dude, everything was ultimately threatening to break our union with each other, community with each other. We think of Cain and Abel, mm-hmm. the first murder. You think of the separation, the Tower of Babel, mm-hmm. Where man tried to unite for all the wrong reasons mm-hmm. to make a great name for themselves, and they were dispersed, right? And you've got languages, cultures develop, and we're largely separated. There's not this communal nature within humanity. We're fractured. Yeah. We're at each other. So it's just wars and all kinds of division. And you keep seeing, to your point about the reversals
yeah.
that the gospel brings. Pentecost, you see a great reversal mm-hmm. because the miracle of the languages,
yeah.
the tongues, everybody hearing the gospel in their own language, being able to communicate. That's a picture of togetherness.
Yeah.
This is what we were meant to experience. And then you get all the way to the end of the story, and he will be their God, and they will be his people.
Yeah.
Dwelling together. Woo!
Yeah.
Dude, and there's something about it that we're meant
yeah.
For that community. And we know, dude, even the introverts.
Yeah.
I always joke that. How many of you introverts, come on, you loved COVID at the beginning. Most introverts that I've asked, I don't even know if I have found the exception, said, yeah, eventually it got old.
Yeah.
It got old. At first, I kind of powered up. Man, I love being by myself. I've never been by myself for 2 months, 3 months, a year.
Right.
And, you know, it was harmful.
Yeah.
Dude, I think we would all say that.
Yeah.
Right? That's not a political statement. It's just it was harmful.
Right.
To be separated from so many of us during those times. And we're meant to be together.
Yeah.
And there's this experience we have. How many times, Nathan, have you and I talked about a movie that when you saw it alone, you're like, yeah, it was okay. You see it with one or two other yeah. people, it changes the whole experience. Yeah.
Well, that was, it's almost been a year now since we saw John Wick 4, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, you know, we still talk about that experience, you know, with Isaac and Ben and, you know, just you have something that you can unite around and, yes. and recall, and you share that experience.
Yeah, and you're like praise it together.
Yeah.
And you kind of remind each other, what about that part?
Yeah.
No, that scene where it's like the dollhouse yeah. aerial view and you see him going room yeah. to room and the steps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going up. It's so true. It we're meant to experience that. So I just love the thought that on Easter, yes, he defeats death, but he also shows us a picture of this is what life is going yeah. to be like. And he is rejoining his friends.
Yeah.
He is telling them, this is what awaits us. And it's a continuation of what we know, but better and better and better. So, you know, I think of what comfort this brings to those who have dealt with loss, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, as I've said now many times, what a hard year in our family, losing Lisa's mother.
Yeah.
I think about it a lot. I think about her every day, but I also think about that maybe not as often as my grief shows, but we try to remind each other this: we're going to be together again.
Yeah,
those experiences we had are going to be back in a way that is going to make the previous experiences look, you know, kind of tepid by comparison.
Right. Well, and that isn't we've talked about this before too, right? That's the great irony of, you know, any relationship that we have. You know, I think about, you know, Joy and I, you know, you and Lisa, like, you know, the most intimate relationship that you can have. And then we get to heaven and, well, that relationship isn't going to exist as it does
uh-huh.
but it's going to be so much better.
Yeah, which is wild, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, the best a marriage can be,
yeah,
right, is still
yeah.
a dim picture. And I think of people like, I think of Matt Smith's mother and father, you know.
Mm-hmm.
His dear mother is still with us and one of the most just energetic ladies I've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
She and her husband, Harley, Matt's father, were married 70 years.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, a lot of people don't get 70 years, let yeah. alone be married 70 years. But they were married for 70 years. So it's hard to picture two people closer together
yeah.
that know each other so well. And every relationship we have in heaven
yeah.
is going to be so far advanced
yeah.
that you can't really even fathom it.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows him better than Lisa.
Yeah.
Not even close. And it's just, wow, it's yeah. hitting me kind of fresh, dude, of what awaits.
Yes.
And not some weird Lawrence Welk harp
yeah.
playing cloudy place.
Yeah. Well, I remember years ago we had Elise Fitzpatrick on.
Oh.
And I remember, you know, her insights into that, you know, she talks about, you know, imagine you are sitting with your friends enjoying a picnic and, you know, lest we forget, the greatest piece about heaven is the ultimate relationship between us and Christ, us yeah. and God the Father, is restored.
Yes.
It's undone from the mess that it was done into.
Yes.
And so, you know, picture, you know, just having a picnic with your friends and Jesus comes walking by.
Oh.
You know, oh, let me join you.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of, you know, where, you know, you have scientists in a lab working on the new space shuttle that's going to take us, you know, to new galaxies. And Jesus comes walking in. Oh, you missed this piece in here.
Yeah.
You know, let me just show you that.
Yeah.
You know, that relationship, right? He's called our brother for yeah. a reason,
right?
He is our big brother. He's our older brother.
Yeah.
You know, and God is our Father, right? Yeah. And this is the relationship that we finally get to enter into that we've missed.
Dude, you're giving me a vibe here. You might not have seen it. Have you seen The Iron Claw, the movie?
No.
I just saw it a few weeks ago because Ben has... It sort of got missed this Oscar season.
Okay.
I know we're going to be talking about some things coming up here pretty soon.
Yes.
A little more fun, a little less...
Fun-natured.
Yeah, and heavy than the
yes.
where we've been these last
yes.
several weeks, which have been appropriate and good. Iron Claw, dude. I'll just say that. This is a note.
Oh,
note
the wrestling start. Movie.
The wrestling
I did movie. Not see it, but yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, Zac Efron.
Yeah.
Jeremy Allen White, who's kind of become very famous now because of his star role on The Bear.
Yeah.
It's really a striking film. I don't want to spoil it because you haven't had a chance to see it. But a lot of what you're talking about Jesus being our brother,
mm-hmm.
it's one of the best explorations of brotherhood that I've seen. I'll just say that. It's based on a real family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tough movie. It's there's some sad moments, but well, I'm going to shut up. I'm just going to drop
okay.
that in here. But I love the idea of yeah. I've often been taken by the Jesus as the older brother.
Yeah.
Right. Who he just comes along because an older brother. Look, my brother and I fought like cats and dogs.
Yeah.
There were moments. My older brother was a star. Older brother.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just saying it.
Yeah.
So, Andy, if you're ever listening to this podcast, I'll drop this little story here.
Greg, you know your mother's the only one who listens to this podcast.
No. Mom, see if you remember this. My brother, Andy, the academic superstar, when I was in third grade, and he would have, I guess, been in sixth, I was in Mrs. Boone's class. I had Mrs. Boone at Parkville Elementary, second grade and third grade.
Mm-hmm.
In third grade, we did a dinosaur unit. Dude, this is the first. I have anxiety remembering my feelings at this. I had this project. It was the Big Dinosaur Project, probably this time of year due. So we spent like a month or more on dinosaurs, and we were supposed to have notes and charts and pictures. It was kind of a multi-curricular, cross-curricular project that was huge. And what a shock, Nathan, this will shock you. The good students were doing all the work along the way. And I would kind of see sometimes Mrs. Boone would give us time. Okay, students, I'm going to give you 20 minutes and work on your projects. And I'd see the good students cutting out their pictures and pasting them in their books writing out the details of what Stegosaurus and Tyrannosaurus Rex was like. And I just took that to like fart around and do nothing.
I was going to say, you were in the corner eating the paste, right?
Exactly. I was eating the paste, smelling the glue, doing all the elementary school things. And I remember I had my first meltdown the night before that project was due. Dude, this is true. I told this at my brother's wedding, and he had forgotten. But I melted down. And my parents, I actually think, felt bad for me. I was so overwhelmed, and I admitted I hadn't done anything. I didn't know the order. I just wasn't. And I went to bed crying. And my mom was actually pretty good to me. Well, we can talk to Mrs. Boone. I think she realized, boy, Greg really fell behind on this and is overwhelmed. Came down the next day. My brother had organized it. And it wasn't exactly what Mrs. Boone said, but, dude, I did fine on it. I remember it was all done, all laid out. He had everything arranged for me and stuff. And your brother did this for you last night. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, he also at times would drive his knee into my back or his chin where I couldn't move, as I've told you, dude. And he would whisper the Hungry Jack commercial and not pronounce the R just to freak me out. And he'd say, hey, B, Hungry Jack, gobble him down, plate comes back, yeah. Hungry Jack. So I want to give both stories. Yeah, true story. Don't know why he wouldn't pronounce the R, but it added to the misery and frustration and pain. And yeah, that's what my kids always say. Dad, did Uncle Andy really do the Hungry Jack? Yes, he did. Hungry Jack, gobble him down, plate comes back. Yeah, Hungry Jack. But he fixed my dinosaur book.
Yeah.
So I've seen where a big brother.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
It's nothing like it, dude.
Yeah. And that's the beauty, because that's the image that we get, right? And and again, you see the big brother, but then, man, you get the invitation to call God Father.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so now you have the Father who is over everything. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, we get to enter into that, again, that sweet communion that Adam and Eve had before the fall.
Yeah.
Right? Before sin enters in, before all the decisions are made, right? There's, you know, God coming in and walking with Adam in the cool of the day. And, you know, what conversations did they have? And thinking about that will one day be restored. And that, again, that wasn't a conversation in some ethereal plane, you know, where it's all misty and hazy and, you know, an LSD trip. Like, this is here in the garden on earth, physical place. You know, where God dwelt amongst his people, right? And that's the promise that God once again will come down and dwell among his people.
And I love it, dude, because it's okay, as we're talking, dude, my right shoulder, very minor, it's been irking me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Pulled it, slept on it funny. It's not a big deal.
Sure.
But it's annoying.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it now. So I know what it feels like, when that pain goes away. Oh, it feels good to get that back, right? And, dude, I sometimes wonder, is it going to feel like, I lived my whole life like I had a horrible cold and just didn't know it?
Yeah.
You know, and when we're upgraded.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what we're supposed to feel like, right? I wonder sometimes if on our maximal health day.
Yeah.
By comparison, it'll feel like, I was kind of limping along.
Right.
Because we know how it feels like when you don't sleep, you're nauseous or you're sore and you know, you're just kind of limping through. Dude, I don't have to tell you this year. you had such a hard year physically, and just to know that all those things are but I also, like, I know what it is to inhabit this body.
Yeah.
Know what it is relatively speaking, to feel good.
Yeah.
And to think that when I look at the resurrection of Jesus and I think, oh, there's continuity and upgrade.
Yeah.
There's continuity and discontinuity.
Yeah.
And the discontinuity is that it's better and better, but it's still the former body, just totally different. And the world, the earth. I like your idea, though, dude. What about Earth as a launching pad, a home base for so many intergalactic adventures?
Yeah.
For all the space travel.
Right.
But I could hear Lisa hearing this saying, nope, Lisa hates space.
I'm done.
Freaks her out, says, I'm happy to stay all of eternity.
Yeah.
She'd want to be like in Vermont, dude, or something, right? Or, you know, but I might want to get over and just see what all the fuss was about the south of France.
Right.
Is it really as good as people say? Never been. But I want to check it out.
Yeah. Well, and that's the hope, right? That's the promise. Not some, you know, we think about the idea of, you know, our worship for all eternity, right? Well, oftentimes we confuse that with sitting in a church just singing hymns over and over and over again, where throughout Scripture we're told that our worship is our life that is given in service to God, that everything we do is to be an act of worship.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you drink, whatever you eat, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God.
Yeah.
That's the piece that we miss now. Right? The things that I do now, I want to get the glory for, you know, and that's even as a Christian, right? Yeah. I want acknowledgement for my accomplishments. Where, you know, on that side of eternity, no, God gets all the glory for it. You know, what I mean, God created me, God gave me my mind. And so, yeah, I was able to figure out this math problem, but it's only because God gave me the mind to do it.
Yes.
Right. And so our worship will be full and true in that sense, you know, not in the sense that we're all going to be sitting in dusty old pews singing hymns from now until the end.
I know. I mean, I'm a pastor and I'm supposed to make that sound. Well, that'll be wonderful, brother in Jesus. No, it won't be. I think even Matt Smith.
Right.
Can occasionally take a break from singing. Occasionally.
Occasionally.
You know, occasionally, because he's got like a number sheet to crunch or something. But there, I always said, Matt, in heaven, all the numbers will be good.
That's right.
You even have to crunch any. So.
Yeah. Dude, this was good.
Oh, was, dude.
Looking at, you know, as you put it, Christ, our first fruits, what that truly means and looks like for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite a thing in front of us, dude. You know what? I'll end with an inspiring note, dude, from the rapper Jelly Roll. Yes, I'm quoting Jelly Roll. Heard it recently. It's corny. It's cliche, but I love it. I'm butchering the lyric a little bit, but it's basically kind of one of these lines to not get hung up on your past. And he says, you know why your windshield is bigger than your rearview mirror? Because what's in front of you is always more important than what you're leaving behind.
Nice.
Jelly Roll. I think our podcast listening audience really appreciated that.
I think we just lost some people.
Sorry, Mom. I'll get you back. I'll send you a Whitman sampler. I don't know why I said that.
Well, until the next time, we just rock the Casbah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you again for listening to These Go to 11, an unchurchy conversation about everyday faith. Once again, please make sure you like, subscribe, and review on your favorite podcast platform. And if you ever find yourself in the Forest Hill, Maryland area, please feel free to stop by at 135 Industry Lane, and you can get all of our service times and information at christfc.org.
These go to 11.